set the world on fire. That's something that I think we would all agree we would love to be able to do. Of course, the hard question is, how do we do it? Our scriptures today challenge us to think about that very question. Isaiah challenged us to think about how our ways may be contributing to how the world is burning, so to speak. And our second passage is going to ask us to consider changing how we approach the world. It's going to challenge us to think about how do we approach other people? How do we treat other people? How are we supposed to treat other people? This passage from the Gospel of Matthew is one that I imagine is going to be familiar to you. It's one where Jesus was challenged by the teachers and religious rulers of the day to name or to be able to take the entire law and summarize it in one line, in one rule, one law that they should follow. And Jesus, being who Jesus is, sees right through that and gives them not necessarily the letter of the law that they were looking for, but he gives them the spirit of the law. And so I encourage us to listen to Jesus' words as we read them. This is from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we do thank you for bringing us here. God, we thank you for the opportunity to raise our voices to you in song, to raise our hearts to you in prayer. God, we pray that as we approach you this morning, as we hear your word, that our hearts and our minds can be wide open to you, that we can hear your invitations, that we can hear your challenges, that we can set aside those things that are maybe distracting us or we're unsure of, or things that are preventing us from being fully present for you. God, we do thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts are pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So once there was a group of people. They were having a picnic alongside a river. They were having a great time. It was a beautiful day. All of a sudden, one of the people sees a baby floating down the river. Well, he immediately jumps out, jumps in the river, and rescues the baby. Well, as he's rescuing that baby, here comes another one. And so someone else jumps in and rescues that baby. But here keep coming more and more babies to the point where they're just coming one right after another, and the group, now all in the water rescuing babies, just can't keep up. So finally, one of their group decides to walk up the river. And as he's doing that, he hears one from the group rescuing the babies cry out to him, "Where are you going? We need your help here. We got to rescue all of these babies." To which the one going upstream responds, "I'm going up to find out who's throwing all these babies in the water in the first place." Now, I heard this parable for the first time last summer when I was interviewing Jesse Roha from Community Renewal Society on my podcast. He was talking about the difference between charity and justice. Charity is rescuing the babies from the water. Justice is going upstream to find out why they're in the water in the first place. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about charity. Last week, we talked a little bit about the attitude of abundance, which is what goes into doing charity. Well, today, I want to take that a step further, and I want to talk about justice. You see, justice is fairness. It's like when someone does something to you and you retaliate, but you're the one who gets in trouble while the other guy gets off scot-free. not fair. And we want justice. When I was a kid, I collected basketball cards. And I had a 1987-1988 Michael Jordan card. It was his second year in the league, and the card was worth a lot. But it was worth even more to me because Michael Jordan was my all-time favorite athlete. And so one day I was over at a friend's house and we were trading cards. And I took this Michael Jordan card with me. Now, why I did that, I don't know. It was not a smart decision. So as we're trading cards, having a good time, I leave, I go home, and my Michael Jordan card is gone. I can't find it. I'm looking everywhere for this card. This was my favorite card. So I call my friend up and say, did I leave it there? Do you have it? And he said, no. Well, as I began to kind of go through the afternoon with him in my mind, I realized that he's got to know where it is. And I began to come to the conclusion that he stole it. So my parents called his parents. And they asked him, and he still denied it. But to this day, I'm convinced that he stole that card. Because I didn't have it. And that wasn't a card I was going to lose. But I never got it back. I never saw it again. It wasn't fair. It was unjust, even. The point is, we've all said at one point in time in our lives, it's not fair. And when something's not fair, we want justice. Now, injustice extends into our communal lives, too. After all, there are a lot of babies getting thrown into the river in our society right now. Right now, our society is not what we would call a just or fair society. For example, take the talk. When we think about the talk, the majority of us, we think of it as talking with our children about the birds and the bees. For African Americans, though, the talk is something pretty different. For African Americans, the talk is the conversation that they have with their young people, especially their sons, to prepare them for encounters with the police. You see, multiple studies have shown that young black men are often perceived as bigger, scarier, and more prone to criminal activity than men of other races. That means for a black man, a police stop becoming violent is a very real possibility. And unfortunately, we do hear about it all the time. Consider the case of Laquan McDonald here in Chicago. There's actually data out there that shows police use more force, against African Americans than they do with white Americans, even though white Americans resist more. We call this inherent bias. And the inherent bias in our society that we have towards African Americans isn't fair, it's unjust. And the reality is the presence of injustice in our lives and in our society is not what God intended. Our moral compass has gone askew. We need to go upriver. We need to seek justice. To seek justice, though, requires that first we seek God. Apart from God, true justice can't exist. That's because to know God is to know that God is just. And because God is just, God then uses the same standard to judge us. He has the same expectations of us. So that means God intends for the world to be a just place as well. That means, as God said to Judah in our passage from Isaiah, that we should learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. These are words that are just as relevant now as they were when they were first spoken. In fact, God first said these words as Judah was on the verge of self-destruction. You see, Judah had been sending a lot of babies down the river. They had become evil, corrupt, sinful, and ultimately unjust. And through their idolatry and injustice, Judah had also turned their backs on God. They had forgotten and no longer understood who it was that gave them life. Isaiah even goes as far as to describe Judah as desolate. Isaiah even compares Judah to Sodom and Gomorrah, which, by the way, if you're Judah, that's not who you want to be compared to. The point is, Judah had lost their way. God, being a just God, though, offers Judah an olive branch. Cease doing evil, learn to do good, and seek justice, and you will be okay. The problem is, God's olive branch requires Judah to totally reorient their lives. That's no small task, considering it requires Judah to do a complete 180 from where they currently are. I mean, all their behavior up to this point, all the systems and structures that they were a part of, must now change. You see, their usual behavior and their current systems were the ones that were actually blinding them to the injustice of the world. So that means whatever their usual practices are, whatever their usual behavior is not going to cut it. For example, Isaiah says, no more going to the temple and offering a sacrifice. No more of the usual festivals. Don't even pray. Sacrifices, festivals, and prayer mean nothing as long as injustice is present in the world. As a point of comparison, it's no different than today saying, after a tragedy, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Thoughts and prayers mean nothing unless they compel us to fight injustice. So instead, God says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. In other words, get right with God and stop throwing babies in the water. God is just. If we throw ourselves on His mercy, admit our current behavior and our current ways aren't working, God will respond with fairness and with righteousness. God is also trustworthy, which means we can depend on God to keep His promise and His word to us, so that when He does extend, or so that we know He will extend mercy to us, just as He promised. Now, as people of faith, we believe that God did extend His justice. We believe that God expressed His justice through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that it is through Christ that God also extended His justice to us and to the world. So when we accept God's justice through Christ on the cross, that means we are also compelled to do good and to seek justice for others, just as Jesus did. You see, Christ stood in solidarity with us, and now we should stand in solidarity with others. By identifying with the poor, the suffering, the sick, and the imprisoned, we do good because we rescue the oppressed, we defend the orphan, and we plead for the widow. Then by going upriver where our leaders are making and enacting and enforcing the laws, we seek justice because we have the power to elect leaders who, like God, will extend justice to God's people through the laws that they make and enact. And these same leaders will also extend justice by making sure those laws are enforced fairly. You see, Judah's leaders had failed him. They failed to extend justice to their people. And I think if we were being honest right now, we would say we have as well here in this country. So maybe, perhaps, we deserve the same fate as Judah. And yet, the cross reminds us that even in times of desolation, there's hope. Hope begins, though, with seeking God's justice and then justice for others. That's Isaiah's words to us this morning. That's why Isaiah says what he says. What we say, what comes out of our mouth, is not enough. It's not enough to say that we love you. We have to show it, too. You see, because Christ suffered in the pursuit of justice in an unjust world, that means we too should probably expect to suffer if we are to survive in an unjust world. Once again, because God is just, That doesn't reconcile with an unjust world. We can't seek justice for the powerless if we aren't willing to give up our own power. We can't challenge existing power systems and structures if we aren't willing to challenge our own role within them. In other words, we have to be willing to go upriver and stop who is ever throwing the babies in the water. And sometimes that means looking in the mirror. Folks, we all know, and I think we would all agree, that our world is not fair, that it's not just. But that's why walking up the river is risky. Because when you walk up the river, you become a threat to that established system. You become a threat to both those who are putting the babies in the water and to those who are pulling the babies out of the water. Remember, that's the entire system. But systems need to be disrupted. Unfairness and inequality need to be called out. Not for the sake of the system, but for the sake of the babies. If it's helpful, think of it this way. If you could design the world and you didn't know what kind of body you would be given, how would you design it? If you didn't know that you were going to be rich or poor, black or white, free or oppressed, a man or a woman, what kind of world would you design? I imagine you would design a world where everyone was equal and treated fairly regardless of status, gender, or race. You would design a just world. Well, a just world is God's intent too. So go, do good, and seek justice. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we know you are a just God. We know that through your act on the cross, that your justice was poured out for all of our behalf. God, we praise your people that we can both see that act, accept it, and enact it in our own lives by bringing your justice to others, by seeking fair treatment, by fighting for equality, by standing in solidarity with the weak and the powerless. God, you have called us, you have shown us your intent to have a just world. And while we know, God, that does not come overnight, nor does it come even within a few years, and it is something, God, that your transforming power is slowly creating. It's something that you have called and invited us to be a part of. So God, we pray for the courage to do so. We pray that we can let go of whatever it is that's preventing us from seeing and acting for your justice. And God, we pray we can follow your Son, that we can have a mind like his and seek justice for all. We pray we can hear Isaiah's words and do good and seek justice. God, we thank you, and we offer this prayer to you in your name. Amen.